Welcome to the Removing Barriers to the Ballot for Georgia's Runoff conference call. My name is James, and I'll be your operator for today's call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. During the Q&A session, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your phone. And also note this conference is being recorded. I'd now like to turn the call over to Travis Abercrombie. Travis, you may begin.
Thank you, and thank you all for joining the call. Good morning. My name is Travis Abercrombie. I'm a communications manager with the All Voting is Local campaign at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. We're pleased today to host today's telephone press briefing, where you'll hear four voting rights advocates urge Georgia Secretary of State Raffensperger to implement and encourage the changes necessary for a smooth runoff election. Joining us today are Akleema Kundoker, Georgia State Director, All Voting is Local; Michael Pernick, Georgia State Lead, Prepared to Vote and Voting Rights Defender Projects, NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund; Poi Winichakul, Staff Attorney, Voting Rights Practice Group, Southern Poverty Law Center and SPLC Action Fund; and Levita Tuff, Policy Director, Asian Americans Advancing Justice for Atlanta. Speakers will be available to answer questions during our Q&A session. The operator, James, will advise reporters how to get into the queue at the appropriate time. First, we'll hear from Akleema Kundoker, Georgia State Director, All Voting is Local.
Thank you, Travis. Again, my name is Akleema Kundoker. I'm the Georgia State Director at All Voting is Local, a campaign housed at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. We have barriers to voting throughout the state because voters do not have equitable access to drop boxes and early vote sites or competent technology when folks go to vote. The result is people are endangering their lives each time that they attempt to vote, and there is inequity across the state as a direct result. Equitable distribution of drop boxes across the state is necessary to ensure that every eligible voter has an equal opportunity to vote. As it is right now, depending on where you live, that will determine whether or not you have access to drop boxes. Georgia's counties show a vast range in accessibility of drop boxes per eligible voter. There are no ballot drop boxes available in 15 counties that are home to about 150,000 voters. That's 2% of the state's eligible voters. Of counties with drop boxes, such as Henry, Forsyth, Columbia, and Coweta counties, those are the least accessible for voters, with just one ballot drop box per 100,000 to 150,000 eligible voters. That is unacceptable. Your fundamental right to vote cannot come at the cost of your health. We are in trying times. We are in times where we must have equitable ballot access so that everyone can continue to access their fundamental right to vote. Now more than ever, it's incumbent on the Secretary of State and on our local counties to ensure that voters can vote safely and equitably, no matter where they reside. It should not depend on your zip code. It should not depend on the county lines that are drawn. It should be available to all of us. All eligible voters must have access to our democracy, and they can only realize that during this time by having safe access to drop boxes, to early vote sites, and to addressing all of our technological issues. We must have those issues addressed so that voters are not at risk for their health care, and so that voters do not risk losing the fundamental right to vote during this runoff election on January 5th. These changes must be implemented immediately. Thank you.
Thanks, Akleema. Next, we'll hear from Michael Pernick, Georgia State Lead, Prepared to Vote and Voting Rights Defender Projects, NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund.
Thanks very much, Travis. The NAACP Legal Defense Fund, or LDF, is America's premier legal organization fighting for racial justice, founded in 1940 by Thurgood Marshall. Through litigation, advocacy, and public education, LDF seeks structural changes to expand democracy, eliminate disparities, and achieve racial justice. Now, as Georgia's top election official, it is Secretary Raffensperger's obligation, as well as the obligation of every county elections official, to ensure that all voters can safely and securely exercise their right to vote in the upcoming January 5th runoff elections. Now, I'm going to focus my comments on advance voting, which is the same thing as early voting. Advanced voting opportunities are vital to ensuring voters can safely, securely, and freely participate in our democracy. The COVID-19 pandemic, which is ravaging the nation and has had extremely harsh effects in Black and Latinx communities, will make in-person voting on January 5th an untenable option for many voters. And due to widespread concerns with the reliability of the United States Postal Service, many voters aren't comfortable requesting or casting their absentee ballots by mail. So for many voters, advanced voting really is the only acceptable option. Now, it's also important to remember that the turnout in this election is expected to be extremely high. Runoff elections in Georgia have not always had high turnout, but this is no ordinary runoff election. In addition, due to the holiday season and compressed election schedule, it may be especially difficult for voters to cast their ballots early, which will lead to longer lines, crowding at polling places, increased COVID-19 risk on Election Day. The Secretary of State can mitigate all of these risks by expanding advanced voting, mandating additional days and additional hours. At least two specific weekend dates should be designated as advanced voting dates across the state. Evening hours should be mandated on certain days. Advanced voting should also be provided on Monday, January 4th, in accordance with Georgia law. These steps will go a long way towards protecting voters and ensuring a smooth runoff election. It's also important for counties to maintain each advanced voting location that was used in the general election. Last-minute changes to advanced voting locations can create confusion and frustration among voters, many of whom will seek to vote at the same advanced voting location they used in the general election. Now, thankfully, most counties are not making dramatic changes to their advanced voting locations, but Cobb County is planning to eliminate over half of its advanced voting locations. Black and Latinx voters in Cobb County, particularly in South Cobb, will be especially hard hit by these closures because advanced voting locations in some of Cobb County's most populous Black and Latinx communities are among those being eliminated. As COVID-19 numbers continue to rise, advanced voting will be extremely important for voters in the upcoming runoff election. That is why it is so important to maximize availability of advanced voting, add additional days, add additional hours, and keep all locations from the general election open to voters for the January 5th runoff. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Next, we'll hear from Poi Wenechukwu, Staff Attorney, Voting Rights Practice Group, Southern Poverty Law Center, and SPLC Action Fund.
Thank you, Travis. And again, my name is Poi Wenechukwu. I am a staff attorney with the Voting Rights Practice Group at the Southern Poverty Law Center and the SPLC Action Fund. The SPLC Action Fund is dedicated to fighting hate and bigotry and to seeking justice in our society. Using lobbying, grassroots organizing, and other forms of advocacy, the SPLC Action Fund works towards the day when the ideals of equal justice and equal opportunity will be a reality for everyone. And in doing so, with our voting rights practice group, I just want to echo the comments that Klima and Michael have shared with regards to drop boxes and early voting sites, and just want to speak briefly on the issue of also ensuring that technological and training issues with poll pads are resolved ahead of the January 5th runoff election. We pointed out in our letter that on Election Day, voters encountered widespread problems with poll pads. And these issues, again, I want to reiterate, are election administration issues that we echo throughout the letter that can be resolved by the Secretary of State. In particular, voters face poll pad issues that cause long lines, confusion, and this increase the strain on poll workers. We suggest four very efficient, low-cost fixes that the Secretary could implement. This includes ensuring that poll pads are accurately programmed and any updates to the poll pad software are tested well in advance of use. This also includes providing poll workers with more extensive and comprehensive training so that they can better understand how to troubleshoot problems. Poll managers should also be given the authority and corresponding technological permissions to quickly override inaccurate poll pad information, such as listing on poll pad information that a voter had already voted when they had not. And finally, and this dovetails very well with the issues that Michael and Aklima had mentioned, counties should be required to allocate the number, counties should receive the number of poll pads in each precinct relative to the number of registered voters in that precinct. Right now, the unequal allocation of poll pads has created long lines where there are high populations of voters, and this disproportionately has affected Black and Latinx voters across the state. So with that, I will turn it back to Travis, and I'm happy to answer any other questions.
Thanks, Poi. Next, we'll hear from LaVita Tuff, Policy Director, Asian Americans Advancing Justice, Atlanta.
Thanks so much, Travis. My name is LaVita Tuff, and I'm the Policy Director at Asian Americans Advancing Justice, Atlanta. Our organization is the first and only nonprofit legal advocacy organization dedicated to protecting the civil rights of Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders in Georgia and the Southeast. Through our work, we envision a social movement in which communities of color are fully empowered, active in civic life, and working together to promote equity, fair treatment, and self-determination for all. I'm excited to be here today to discuss how we need to push for the Secretary of State to clarify and publish updated ballot status information. The runoff elections are less than a month away, and Georgia's voters need clarification and access to confirm their absentee ballot status information via My Voter page and Ballot Tracks website, both of which are confusing platforms that further complicate the voting process for Georgia's voters, especially limited English proficiency voters who are navigating the process with no in-language resources on either site. Right before the general elections, Asian Americans Advancing Justice Atlanta won a huge victory. Voting materials in one Asian language. Before DeKalb County, Georgia did not have any voting information in any Asian language. The only one county in Georgia, DeKalb, that provided in-language resources in Korean was there to help LEP voters on Election Day. LEP voters across the state are left to figure things out on their own when forced to use websites like My Voter Page and Ballot Tracks with no in-language resources, a task that is already difficult for so many of Georgia's voters that have no language barrier to overcome. With a growing number of absentee ballot requests for the runoff, action is needed to protect all of Georgia's voters. The failure to disclose pertinent information about absentee ballots and in language results in voters not knowing that their ballot could still be rejected. Rejection of ballots is especially important since communities of color are more likely to have their ballot rejected. For Asian American voters, the chances of having their ballot rejected for signature mismatch are even higher due to variations in how names are written. When ballots are left uncured, the vote is left uncounted. Communities of color are disenfranchised at higher rates when their submitted ballots are left uncounted. Georgia's elections must be accessible for all Georgians. Georgia must take critical corrective measures, such as providing simple definitions regarding ballot statuses in multiple languages and an opportunity for voters to sign up for email or text notifications with updates to their ballot with an in-language option. It is the responsibility of the state to make sure that all voters are informed and that all votes are counted. Thank you so much. I'm open to questions. Travis, back to you.
Thanks, LaVita. And now we are ready to take questions from reporters. Reporters, please note if your question is directed to one of the specific speakers. And James, can you provide directions, or pardon me, provide instructions for asking those questions?
Very good. Thank you. We can now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your phone. If you wish to be removed from the question queue, you may press the pound sign or the hash key. And if you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. So once again, if you have a question, press star 1 on your phone. And we're open for questions. Our first question is from Larry Johnson of the Cobb County Courier.
Hi. This question you said to direct it to one person, I guess to Michael Pernick then, because he is the person who spoke on advance voting. What I'm hearing from Cobb Elections is that the their poll workers are being really slammed with burnout at this point, and that many of the managers and poll workers refused to work unless they could work under less onerous conditions than they faced. I was told that they were working 6 days per week from 6 a.m. to often after 9 p.m. And I'm interested in hearing what sort of proposals or suggestions you have for dealing with a situation like that, where there just are not enough managers and poll workers willing to work 11 voting sites.
Thanks, Larry. This is Michael Pernick from LDF. I'll first say we are very concerned about the situation in Cobb. In South Cobb in particular, we're seeing 4 advanced voting locations that serve Cobb County's communities of color that are being consolidated into just one location, and that one location is quite remote. It's all the way at the very, very bottom of the county, and it's really not accessible and not just geographically central to many of Cobb County's Black and Latinx voters. It's unclear what criteria was used by the county to determine which locations should be closed. So the locations that are remaining are not equitable. You know, what's also not clear is why Cobb is eliminating over half of its early voting locations, but other counties aren't in this situation. Every elections official in the state has been working extremely hard. We all acknowledge that. We're all appreciative of the hard work of poll workers over the last several months. But other counties aren't eliminating the majority of their advanced voting locations, and Cobb has not provided any explanation as to why they have to make such drastic cuts when other counties don't. So we're still hoping that the county will find a way to do the right thing and make advanced voting equitable for all voters in the county. There are hundreds of poll workers who volunteered to serve as poll workers in Cobb. Cobb turned them away, said we don't need them. So there's no shortage of individuals available and ready to help. They would just need to be trained and brought on board so Cobb can provide equitable access to advanced voting for all voters.
Hi, this is Akleema Kondokar. I also wanted to add to that and just to say that while I hear that there is some tension there with getting people trained and getting staff, I'm hearing that it's hard. I'm hearing that people are tired, but that is everyone. Election administration work is very hard, and it's also hard on voters. I don't think that we need to focus on how difficult the job is. I think the focus must be on how we can get the job done. It shouldn't be because this is hard, because we are tired, because this requires more, we then do less. The time is now for Cobb County to step up and give voters more, because it is the more that they deserve. As voters seeking to exercise their fundamental right to vote during this pandemic, we need to see more from our elections officials. We need to see the effort put in to get people trained, to make sure enough people are available. It's true. Poll workers are tired. They've been working really, really hard. So what they need is support. What they need is guidance. What they need is more staff and better training. What they don't need is to be pulled out of the equation altogether. What voters don't need is to not have an acceptable option to vote early when that is so very necessary during this pandemic, especially. So while we know that folks are tired and while we know there are issues at stake, the voters are also tired. And the voters demand to have access to the ballot, and this is one safe and equitable way to ensure that this happens, particularly in those communities that Michael referenced with a high population of Black and Latinx voters. We cannot have a system in place that allows us to leave our democracy in peril because we're tired. That is not the answer. That is not the goal. That is not the democracy that we all are here to participate in and be a part of.
Our next question is from Christopher Alston of WABE News.
My question is for Eklima, with all voting as local. Could you just repeat the four counties that have only one ballot drop box? And do you know any of the 15 that you said have none? Thank you.
Yes. So for the counties that have drop boxes that are what I referenced before, one ballot drop box per 100,000 to 150,000 eligible voters. Those counties are Henry, Forsyth, Columbia, and Coweta. And as far as counties with the most accessible drop boxes for voters, and that's one for every 2,000 or so eligible voters, those are Quitman, Webster, Clay, and Baker counties. And the reason why I also reference those statistics is because we understand from the Homeland Security Work Group on our elections administration issues that the standard should be one drop box per every 15,000 to 20,000 voters, because that would allow for greater access and for equitable access. So that is why we're really pushing to have more drop boxes in more locations so that we can be closer to that goal, so that more folks can access the ballot. When you have areas where you don't have any drop box whatsoever, and I don't remember that off the top of my head, but I'm going to actually search through to see if I could find it. Now we are placing people at risk. We are now setting a standard where if you happen to be in a county that has this sort of access, then you do have this sort of the safe and effective and available option to vote absentee by mail using the drop box. You do not have that option if you live someplace else. If you live someplace else that does not decide to add a drop box, now if in order to return your absentee ballot, you have to either rely on the United States Postal Service, which we know has been fraught with issues, or you now have to figure out how to get to your county Board of Elections and Registration office in order to get your ballot in on time. And these are tremendous burdens for voters, particularly voters of color, who we know are most affected by COVID infection rates across the state. And so it's very important that the Secretary of State step up and make drop boxes mandatory across all counties, because we cannot have a system shaped by your area code to decide your access to the ballot. That is unreasonable, and that is not the sort of democracy that we envision. That is not what we vote for. And as far as those counties that have zero drop boxes, if you'll give me a moment to circle back, I'm happy to do that to tell you exactly where those counties are. I don't have that off of the top of my head right now.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star one. And we have no more questions.
And on, I'm sorry, this is Eklima again. I do have an answer for you as far as counties that have zero drop boxes. So those counties are, I see Glasscock has no drop boxes, but they have 2,299 eligible voters. Counties like Johnston, also zero drop boxes, 7,801 eligible voters. Twiggs County, zero drop boxes, 6,666 eligible voters. Stewart, zero drop boxes, 5,232 eligible voters unable to use an absentee, use a ballot drop box to deposit their absentee ballots. And we have more. We have many more counties: Seminole County, Miller County, Randolph County, Stewart County, Montgomery County, Toombs County, Jenkins County. I think I mentioned Johnson, Talifiero County, Warren County, Heard County, Meriwether County, Habersham County, Chattooga County. All of these counties do not offer not one drop box so that voters can safely and effectively deliver their absentee ballots. Thank you.
And as I said, we have no more questions.
Would the speakers like to make any last-minute statements? Going once.
I can say just a little something. This is Akwima Kondoker again, Georgia State Director at All Voting is Local, a campaign of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. The focus of our organization is to dismantle barriers to the ballot. And what barriers to the ballot look like is inequitable access to getting to being able to cast your ballot. So what that looks like is not having an equitable way or a safe way to vote absentee. So that means not having access to your ballot drop box where someone in a county, someone in the next county over has that kind of access. That is inequitable access. That is a barrier for that particular voter. It also looks like not having access to early voting. Early voting starts next week on December 14th. And what we have just laid out, what Michael has just laid out, is that there are several voters in Cobb County, particularly Black and Latinx voters, that will not have access to early voting during a very critical time. We're approaching the holidays. That's not just happening for election workers and staff. That's also happening for voters. Voters who are trying to figure out how to manage health care, child care, work schedules amid a global pandemic, as the holidays are happening, as a very important election is occurring on January 5th. These voters must have equitable access to the ballot. It's necessary that they have that access, and they will not. That is a barrier. Same goes with these technological issues that we talked about, these issues related to access to in-language information that people need. We know that Georgia is a very diverse state. We have a community of people who do not speak English as a first language. These are limited English proficiency speakers that must have access to clear information when they want to access their right to vote. So when it comes to technological issues that we see from utilizing our state websites to request information about your polling site, to request information about, you know, when do you use a provisional ballot versus an emergency ballot? Questions that people have, they need to have those answers now more than ever. And that must be clarified for all voters as we head into this critical election on January 5th. The early voting starts next week on December 14th. There is still time for the Secretary of State's office to direct counties to do the right thing. Add drop boxes, one per 15,000 to 20,000 voters. Add early voting sites at a sufficient percentage so that more voters in the community can access early voting starting next week. And please make sure that you clarify any of those technological issues that folks run into when they try to use the website. Make sure that you're training your poll workers to sufficiently answer those questions to voters, particularly voters who are limited English proficiency, so that everyone can gain fair and equitable access to the ballot as we head into the runoff election. Thank you so much for your time. That concludes my statement.
Are there any other speakers who'd like to make a statement as well?
LaVita Tuff from Advancing Justice Atlanta. I just want to echo the sentiments of what Akwima just said, especially on the part about, you know, language access. It's critical. It's crucial. If DeKalb County could do it in such a short amount of time for their constituents, it's possible for the state to get it done as well. Language access has got to be seen as something that's a voting rights issue, and it has to be prioritized so that all of Georgia's voters can participate in the electoral process. One voter being left out is one too many, so language access has got to become a priority for the Secretary of State's office when talking about election administration and making sure that all Georgians have the opportunity to participate and cast their vote.
Are there any other speakers who'd like to make a statement? Okay, well, that concludes today's call. Reporters, thank you for joining us. We'll release audio of this call later today via press release. If you have any additional questions or to reach out to any of the speakers, please contact us at press@allvotingislocal.org. Thank you all so much for joining, and have a great day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.